You make my word none effect. The traditions, you know, and I'm not traditional. I'm not a traditional husband. Teresa's like, amen. Hallelujah. And so, this, you know, the world celebrates today Easter. But I celebrate Jesus. You know, and the world celebrates it in a different way, you know, and all of that. And I'm not going to get into that. But, you know, that's really upset a lot of folk in my life over the years because I wouldn't have programs here, you know, Easter egg hunts and all of that stuff, you know. But see, when I was down, resurrection bought redemption, Beth, so you can go ahead. Resurrection brought redemption, you know. But see, all the way down there when I was going to commit suicide back down under 30 years ago, Easter meant nothing to me. Money meant nothing to me. Drugs meant nothing to me. Nothing meant nothing to me anymore. Life was just no good to me, you know. But Jesus came in, and I don't just celebrate the resurrection on one day a week, one day a year. You know, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ operates in our everyday life as we allow Him to. The power of the resurrection. There was the resurrection brought redemption. Redemption from sin. We've been redeemed from sin. You know, it brought redemption from sickness and disease and oppression and poverty. And it brought redemption. And that redeeming power is not just once a year. You know, but this is a time of the year to where Christian, and you know what? There's no other God that died and rose again in no other religion. They're all dead. But there's one that is alive, and His name is Jesus. He's alive. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Hallelujah. And He's ever making intercession. And Jesus told His disciples, He said, go tarry in Jerusalem. Go in the upper room. Wait in Jerusalem. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Then will you be my witnesses. Then will you. The ministry just started. Well, you know what? Jesus had to be resurrected for that power to come. So the resurrection of Jesus, when He ascended, He sent back the Comforter, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Romans, it says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you, if you're born again, the resurrection brought redemption for you. That means you can be born again. But it also brought the power to destroy your past and give you a future. The Bible says in Corinthians over there, I'm getting ahead of you. Put that up, everybody. They all died. They prayed to, there's many gods, but there's only really one God. But there's many things that people across this planet worship and pray to, other Buddha, Muhammad. See, all of them are dead. But Jesus rose from the dead. There ain't but one resurrection from the dead. And that's Jesus. And, you know, they was a saying back yonder, you know, when they was advertising Coca-Cola. And it says, Coke, the real thing, you know. And I had a revelation, you know. Some people made an image of Jesus. There was black Jesuses in black churches with long hair. The Hispanics thought they had Jesus. He was a Hispanic. You know, I thought he was a white man. And, you know, but once I found out that Jesus was not white, it devastated this white boy as a Christian. See, what was happening, though, the resurrection power, how many knows God is a spirit? You know, and Jesus came, God came in the vessel of Jesus, right? The Bible says that He was manifesting Himself through Jesus. And so I found out, you know, that God is not an image. And I've tried over the years not to create an image of the God that I believe I want to serve. I want to take that Bible and I want to believe. See, they've been tried to prove that Jesus wasn't resurrected. They can't. The Scripture's all the truth that we need. If the Bible says that Jesus was crucified, buried, and raised, that's all the evidence we need. And the Holy Spirit, which you have and I have from the Father God, because of Jesus' resurrection and ascension, praise God, will bear witness with the truth that is in this Bible right here. And the Bible says that me and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, Jesus, the Bible says in John 10, oh, let's read that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. But he says, once I give my heart to Jesus, I'm a new creation. Now I have to live my life for identifying with a resurrected Jesus. What does that mean? Resurrection means somebody died to give life. Raised from the dead and brought life. The resurrection of Jesus brought the redemption of mankind. Powerful. Powerful. Just like brought up Mickey Cruz, you know, and he told him, I mean, the dude's going to cut him up. Some of these gangs, like you know, we think of gangs, you know, they're not really that dangerous. But now there's gangs. And, I mean, they'll cut your fingers off, and they'll pull your toenails off, and you torture you, and, you know, and all. That was the kind of people that this love in this man was confronting. And he wanted them born again. He wanted them new create. See, the resurrection of Jesus in our life, when we identify it, it causes us to want to reach people. That life is a selfless life. His life was selfless. And then that comes on the inside of us and causes us to be selfless. If we yield to it, that's why God's been bringing love, 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 love one another. Love one another. I thought, man, I mean, when it's like love one another as Christ loved you, and I'm like, oh, man, it seems like I'm going all over again when it said love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I thought, oh, my God, she'll take advantage of me. How did Christ love the church? He gave his life for it, didn't he? You know? And we do it. We walk in that resurrected life here, you know. And when we choose to love one another, we're identifying with that. When we choose to love our wife as Christ so loved the church, we're identifying with that. If it ain't the guitar, it's the string. Well, you know what that means? That means I just need to go buy a guitar. Right? I'm going to buy a guitar. I'm going to buy a backup guitar. This will never happen again. Well, I got to put batteries in my mic before I start. Hallelujah. But you know what you don't let do? something hinder you and get you off track. Praise God. Because, you know, I was thinking about this morning, Travis, he had mentioned I started to send you a sermon. Somebody, a minister had open heart surgery and different things. See, this resurrected Jesus has gave me a life of victory that was already mine before I give my heart to him. I had open heart surgery and different things. Now, I'm not talking about my story. You got to put the resurrection power of Christ in his word. You can't separate the word and Jesus. The word is God. It was God and became flesh and dwelt among us. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the first partaker. First fruit. And so Travis, you know, I had open heart surgery and people told me, well, you need to go on disability and blah, blah, blah. And I thought, no, man. No, I'm not going to identify with that. See, today you would identify, if you really want to be a father, ask him. If you want to know how to be a true father, ask him. God, help me to be a father to my children. If I really want to be a grand, now the resurrection's going to work in the garden. It's going to work on the garage door scene. It's going to work in the, it's going to work all the time, not just today, not just good Sunday. Can't say Friday is gone. See, victory, we had this song at church. It says, it would say, victory, oh, victory is mine. Victory, oh, victory is mine. I stand on the word. Let the Lord do the battle. Victory, oh, victory is mine. And I sang that when I didn't feel like I had a lick of victory out there when I'm on the job and everything going backwards and everybody against me and everybody persecuting me. And I understand persecution. I understand when you don't feel worthy. You know, but I understand also walking out of that, walking on and coming up in faith where I know I'm worthy. I mean, I got the precious blood of Jesus Christ applied to my life and my family. Hallelujah. I walked boldly and I didn't lay hold of poverty, and this is the way that it is. And people have told me it's because you're on your own business. And I tell them, no, I started prospering back there working for the other man, started serving and identifying with this resurrected Jesus. Started identifying with what he, do you realize that he paid a big price on that cross? He paid a price for our sin. He took on poverty so that we don't have to be lacking as Christians. I don't care what the world experiences or what people in the church experiences. God's word says what it said, and you take him at his word. If he says in Deuteronomy 8:18 that it is he, God, that gives you the power to obtain wealth so he can establish his covenant with you, well then get off of any limitations in our carnal mind and say, God, you are establishing your covenant. Jesus, the Bible says, now we are new creations. If you ain't born again, then you are without God and you are without hope. In this world, I don't care what people tell you, I'm a good person. A guy laying on his deathbed, close to his deathbed, told me, I asked him, I said, are you right with Jesus? And he said, I'm a good man. I've been good, and reminded me of Nicodemus. And so I told the old man, I said, he didn't need no money. He didn't need God as far as this world stuff. He was a millionaire. All of it, but stuff had him, you know. And I told him, I said, don't leave. This is what the resurrection, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation to make sure that that old man didn't leave here without knowing how to get right with Jesus. And so I told him, I said, whatever you do, I said, all of that won't get you to heaven. That's not how you get there. That don't get you to God. How many knows when Lazarus died and Jesus been 4 days over there, and Mary, Martha told him, said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died.
He said he'll live again. She said, yeah, I know he'll live again in the resurrection in the last day. And when and he said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he that believeth in me shall not perish, but he will live forever. See, resurrection brought forever life for me and you. We live a short time down here, and then we live forever. See, the resurrection brought, according to Revelations over there, Revelations 21, I believe it is, 4. Put that up, everybody. And I saw a new heaven and an earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Ain't that amazing? Look at what the word's saying here. And I, John, saw the holy city. We can look for another city. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Ain't that awesome? Prepared as a bride adored for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. See, the resurrection caused me to be a new creation, caused me to come into a life to where I can see an afterlife, after this life. This life is short. We're all going to pass. If Jesus don't come back, we're going by the grave. But you know what, praise God, the grave is not death. The grave is just a burial. And then we're raised again, just like Jesus. Well, do you know they went over there? He went over there in 4 days, and Lazarus, they done mummified him, put him in them grave clothes and all of that. And I was thinking about Christians today. I was thinking about how here goes the resurrected Christ over there 4 days later. This man has done put in a tomb. He's done been dead 4 days. I don't think they had embalming fluid then that keeps you from rotting. Bible says he's already stinking. You over there, and he's standing there, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up. Been dead 4 years. He got up. And he said, come. He said, and then he said, remove the grave clothes. And I thought, oh, glory to God, that's what's happening today here at Faithway Christian Center. Grave clothes are coming off of you, see. You've been born again. We've been born again. But some of us get still bound in a little fear here. Still bound in a little unforgiveness here. Still bound in a little bit of condemnation here. And the resurrected, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, let that resurrection power flow all over and through each one of us today in that service, God, that we experience a little bit more of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our life. But he said, take the grave, had a napkin over his face, man. I mean, the dude's bound. I think they kind of like mummified him, wrapped him up, and all of that stuff. And they begin to take the grave clothes off, and Lazarus walked free. And the Lord said, see, my son was raised. I raised him from the dead. He said, and he ascended up on high. He said, and he led captivity captive. He led fear captive. Don't fear nothing. And so whenever I had open heart surgery, and I'm not talking about, that's been 6-7 years ago. I, by faith, went and dug post holes. I, by faith, went to work. I couldn't even hold a staple to nail I safety eye wires. I mean, it was a challenge. I was so weak to hold a hammer. I couldn't drive but a couple of staples. But I was identifying with this resurrected Jesus, and it wasn't in April. I didn't need him in April. I needed him working in August and September, in October and those leading months, and I would tell the Lord, I'm strong. There's what that resurrected power done. It gives you the ability to take God's word and call it to yourself. Call yourself strong. Back when I was broke and didn't have no money, I would call myself rich and people would get upset, Johnny. They'd be the old fat cat Scotty. Listen, they got plenty of money. They didn't know how broke I was. They didn't know that I was taking, and I'm not knocking them. They didn't know that I was taking God's word in here, and I was learning and trying to get it in my heart and trust what he said, that Scotty would not be broke no more. That Scotty would be able to live a good life and have abundant above. Put that John 10:10 up there, Beth, please. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if anybody entered in, he shall be saved. You ain't going to be saved no other way. Jesus is the only door to salvation and to the kingdom. He's the only, there's no other way. Not good works, not church attendance, not being pretty good person, pretty good to your wife. Nope. Jesus said, I am the door. You see, but that door led me into a cutting away life. I'm telling you, God began to cut things off of me. I hated Hispanics. If you wasn't white, I mean, I didn't like you at all. I was bound in that. You know, and like Mac, you know, lust. I mean, it's funny to you, but lust is not funny. When it drives you, or when fear drives you, that's not funny. Or when money drives you because you want to have a good life instead of letting Jesus drive you. All that stuff's not funny. You know, but freedom. The Bible says, Jesus, the Galatians, I believe it is, he said, stand therewith in the freedom where Christ Jesus has made you free. That resurrected Jesus made you free, and be not yoked again with the yoke of bondage. And so I started calling myself strong. I started telling those thoughts, casting those thoughts down. See, the Bible teaches you how to war a good warfare. The Bible teaches you how to prosper. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good man, I know Teresa talking about, but you know what? 1 John 4 over there, I believe it is. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper even as your soul prospers. See, you're born of the Spirit of God. You have the resurrection power operating in your life through the Holy Spirit. But you know what? We got to choose to operate in it. We got to choose to come out of fear. Hallelujah. Fear is your enemy. You know, one time Teresa, you know, we went through a little rough time, you know, and we've been worth a lot, assets and things, for quite a few years, you know, and we were going through a little rough time and things and transitioning, devil and all. You got all of that involved. And the Lord told me, he said, just give her everything. But I've been believing God for a lot of stuff. You know, and I said, okay, God. I said, I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. And so I made the conscious choice to give her everything. And almost everything, one little thing. And when I did, I broke the back of the devil. See, what I'm saying is, that was love. Jesus gave it all. But see, the Bible says that no man will put him first before kinfolk, husband, wife, lands, and lose anything, right? But he shall gain 100-fold in this life and eternal life. Hallelujah. See, you got to renew, and I've got to renew my mind to God's word. It's not because, you know, when people prosper, my mother prospered. After I taught her and she started actually tithing to the Lord and actually started believing God. I taught her not just only to tithe. I taught her to believe God for increase, that God wanted her to increase. And my mother, the resurrected power of Jesus on the word of God, taught my mom in her heart how to give to the Lord. And my mama left every one of us checks. Teresa wrote them and sent them to all of us. And a few years before, she was broke on a $660-something you know, a Social Security check or whatever it was. Hallelujah. But see, what I'm saying is I thought, you know what? You know what, Lord, you've come in and people will label you when you go around saying, by Jesus stripes I'm healed, and they say, well, how's your back? Well, I'm not going by how I feel. Well, we got to call things the way they are, or you're a liar. No, you call things the way God does. God didn't say, now look, I'm lying when I tell y'all in here, I'm calling those things that be not as though they were, and I want y'all to be like me as I am, so are you in the earth. Now, I know you're going to be lying a little bit, but just fake it till you make it. That's terrible. He called those things. He called Abraham the father of many nations. And they couldn't have kids. He told him, he said, look at the stars. He said, count the stars. Count the sand in the sea. And that's how many your descendants. And you know, God, he believed God. Because when God asked him to sacrifice his son, he drawed back going to sacrifice. He believed God. See, now you got to believe God. Believe God that you're healed. Well, my body's older. Well, I mean, that's just the way it goes. No, I don't get into all that. What's the Bible say? What's the Bible say? It didn't say when you're 80, you're not healed anymore. When you're 65, 50, I'm 58. I'm only getting started. Old guy told me the other day, he said, how old are you? He said, you've been to God's door, been to 30 years. I said, yeah. He said, you about ready to retire? I said, nah, probably not, man. I said, why would I do? I mean, what would I do? You know, what? I said, nah, I'm not ready to retire, man, because I'm thinking I got 120 years. I'm not going to retire at 58, right? And I told him, I said, besides that, I don't want to leave my son and the guys, you know, that helps us and stuff, man. I mean, they need me. They need, but it ain't that. Used to, I'm calling in sick to go fishing, lying to my boss. Now I can get out. I don't want out. I'm in the will of God, see. That resurrection power puts you in the will of God no matter where, even if you're in prison, brother. Paul wrote most of the New Testament in prison. How? That resurrected Jesus. He said, I'm going after that I've been apprehended of. I follow after that took hold of me. I tried to backslide. I did backslide. But you can't backslide and be happy anymore. Dude, I mean, I thought, this Jesus stuff, you know, got out, went back into drugs and different things that we'd been into. And you know what? I'm miserable. I'm stoned miserable. I mean, I'm drunk miserable. All I think about is Jesus. I'm thinking, man, I wish I could get my mind off of this stuff, man, where I can enjoy life. No, when I repented and got back and fell on my knees, then here come that life back in me. Pray God, hallelujah. And it's been driving me ever since. But how many knows that John 10, put that up there, Beth. Oh, you did? It says, Jesus, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I'm come, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you ever wondered what the word abundantly means? That he come that you might have it more abundantly. I did. I thought, I wonder what that means. So I studied it. I studied the word. The Amplified, is that the Amplified? That's the Amplified you get up there. That was the King James that I was quoting. But it says that where's it at? There it is. More abundant. No, that's not the Amplified. It means to the full till it overflows. That means that I'm totally healed. That means that I have money and I don't lack nothing. Right? And if I need to buy you a $400 grocery bill, I just walk in front of you and I just pop it on you. Abundant to the full till it over. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's what that means. And I've took that word for almost 30 years. Now, I have to walk in the nature of the Lord. You know, I mean, we got to walk deeper in the love of God. When I walk in the love, I won't lust over your wife. Come on, somebody. If I'm walking in love, I won't lust over my sister. I told a teenager one time, I said, y'all can't kiss. Y'all are brothers and sisters. They're like, brothers and sisters. Good Lord. Well, ain't we born again? Ain't we brothers and sisters? Right? I said, you don't need to be doing all that smooching till you get married. You know, till you become one. Right now, you're brothers and sisters. And them teenagers are like, Brother Scott is a little weird, man. He's a little far out there, you know. And I'm like, no, man. You know, well, the world is different. The world is, you know, just go and try everything. And if it don't work out, you've not made no deep commitments. But see, Christians love and they make commitments. I told Travis when he gonna marry Beth and all of that. I told him, I said, look, I said it's lifetime. It's not. If you're gonna get married and then get a divorce after a little while when things ain't working out. I said, you go into this thing as a Christian that you are going to make sure this is who you're supposed to marry and marry them, and then you're never getting a divorce. This is the resurrected Jesus I'm talking about. You know, and the Lord told me one time, He said, I'm going to make your marriage a light. He said, I want your light to shine, that men will see your good works and give me glory, that you're able to keep marriages together. You're able. He's able. Teresa can't divorce me. See, y'all are wondering what I'm going to say. God hates divorce. I hate it. Therefore, I'll never get one. She ain't made me sign a paper. Cannot. She can go get her divorce, but I'll always be married to her. Right? Because I ain't getting no divorce. Therefore, that puts me in a place of faith. That puts her in a place of safety. That puts her in a place where Satan can't do nothing to her as long as she is willing. So, and I've had men, I'm going to pray that the Lord help me get one. And I'm like, you don't have to have the Lord to help you, man. You're already headed that way now. Because you're looking at things not through the eyes of faith, hallelujah. How many knows this resurrected power of God works in every area that we will allow it to work in? It brought redemption. Brought redemption from sin. People say, well, you know, we're always going to sin. That's not what your Bible says. Your Bible says in Romans over there that sin shall not have dominion over you. I don't care what people are experiencing. You don't believe, and I don't believe the Bible based on what people experience. We don't believe the Bible based on what we experience. I went for years and years and years trying to overcome something, but my mind was made up. One day I will be free because you already set me free. Jesus come that I might have life and have it more abundant, and I lined my confession up with the Word of God for 7 or 8 years. Because I felt like every how long it takes, I'm not going to change my believing. I'm not based on what I'm experiencing. You might not be experiencing the life you want right now, but don't change your believing. You believe in line with the Word of God, and God will watch over that Word in your heart and in your life and bring that Word to pass. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, if you'd have had faith, you wouldn't have had to have open heart surgery. I said, nah. I said, the Lord tried to tell me through the doctors, get some exercise. Right? Stop eating the pork. Stop eating this and this and eat oatmeal. And I'm like, oh, my Jesus. Eat oatmeal, man. Every morning. I got a brother that eats oatmeal every morning, man. He's smart. I'm about 30, 40 pounds overweight. It's not because I'm eating oatmeal. Right? I told him, I said, oh no. I said, you're not going to pull that on me and make me believe contrary to the Word of God. I said, God's Word don't fail. God don't come short. Whatever God said in His Word, praise God, that's mine. I said, but you know, I said, it's hard for me to stand on 1 Peter 2:24, but I do it anyways. And knowing that I'm eating this stuff that's... But I'm like, well, at least I got that resistance in there. I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change God's word. Well, God, I've had people say, well, if God wants you healed, God will just heal you. Well, that's up to God then. God's already healed us. God's already provided for us everything that we will ever need. I watched Travis. Now, I'm kind of shocked that he's 32 and he's been in this a long time in the church and all of that, you know. But he just has, over the last year, started laying hold of believing something natural in his shop. I watched him go out there and you know, and I thought, God, if he sticks with it, what's worked for me will work for him. It's not because he's a pastor's boy. That's got nothing to do with it. What works is and it's not because it works for preachers and it don't work for anybody else. The Bible is not just for preachers. This I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing right now, encouraging you to believe this, to believe what he said and experience a good life. Well, just like John Adedola called me, and he's headed back over there. They told him, don't ever come back to this country. If you come back to this country, you know, it's not going to be good for you. You know, it's not going to be well with you. And he told me, he said, I'll let you know just quick as I get the ticket, I'm going back. I'm going back to India. Well, he's not afraid. What are you afraid of? What are we afraid of? Are we afraid God won't come through for us? Are we afraid God won't bless us? Hallelujah. I watched Travis walk through that, you know, and I thought, glory to God. I thought, glory to God, he did it, Lord. He walked that thing out. He run into trouble, and he kept going. He run into some more trouble, he kept going. He had some hardship, he kept going. He believed God, and he completed everything Saturday. Everything was complete Saturday that he was believing God for. Now, he's going to do some more stuff, but I'm talking about I watched it. And I watched him build about $80,000 or $90,000 that I know personally that people borrow money for and pay 25 years for that shop. And he believed that in. He made his mind up, I'm not borrowing, I'm not. He believed it in, and he built that shop for around $17,000. God give deals here, deals on 10, deals on a lot of stuff. I mean, it was just deal after deal after deal, saving thousands on the on the metal, thousands on the insulation. Believing in it, what am I talking about? I'm not talking about Travis. I'm talking about this word works because Jesus was raised and sent us back the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't just enjoy the resurrection power once a year. It's every day. Get in God's word and stand on God's word. The resurrection sets us free from our past failures, mistakes, defeats, and hopelessness. Don't walk in condemnation. Today you say, I received that word. And I will not let anything bring my past up to me. I can't cry over spilt milk. That's one thing that how it helps me overcome stuff. When I make mistakes or wrong choices or whatever, to make it right, I say, well, I'm not going to cry. You can't cry over spilt milk. And I sure ain't going to wallow in it. I'm gonna forget it and move on. Failures and motive. The resurrection gives a future and a hope. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way that you have this life and eternal life. A good life here and eternal life, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you. We thank you, Father.